so holy, holy, oh so holy, holy is our God. Lord, we come into your house, singing praises for our King.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between, for a no-obligation, personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888 RX for Stat.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Are the results of President Trump's Middle East tour just good business or good for prophecy? How are Gen Z men making church cool again? There's an arrest warrant out for a certain prime minister, killer flies at our southern border, the Catholic Church needs some law and order, and some good news that God is still saving lives as we look at the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies and the world's news for Friday, May 16th, 2025. You can listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with a friend, which we always encourage you to do. Here's another thing we encourage you to do. Read the articles we talk about or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or just grab our Way Media app right from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who loves going outdoors, as it's much safer than going out windows, and that's Pastor Mark, who thought refusing to go to the gym was a form of resistance training, but now he does go to the gym, but it's only to jog his memory.
You got to get some exercise in.
You've got to get some exercise in,
I appreciate that. It's got to be done.
So you drive up in front of the gym and you're like, okay, yeah. Now what did I pull up for again?
That's right.
You know, and then you jog your memory and it's like, oh, yes, I meant to go wash my hands.
Yes, I lift my coffee and one, hold. Hold and one. I go down, then I get another drink, hold. Feel that burn.
Well, then mostly the problem is you get coffee elbow.
Well, I feel the burn in the hand because I get extra coffee. Yes. Feel the burn and then back down and two.
And then you sue. Yes. Anyway. All right. We have got lots of things to talk about. Was there anything that was on your mind that you wanted to hit right off the bat, or we'd go right into articles?
Well, I have a lot on my mind, but I think the articles are going to bring it all out. So let's jump right in.
All right. Fantastic. All right, as we head to the land, the prophetic land, as it were, of Ezekiel 38 and 39, we come first to All Israel News for an article dated May 12th that the Middle East is on edge because Trump is pushing billion-dollar arms deals that could spark a regional arms race.
Yeah. Yeah, this is huge, and I do want to camp here for a while on this whole Middle East thing that's going on. This is
Let me give you one more, Pastor Mark.
Go ahead, do it.
And this is also from the Jerusalem Post,
yes,
where the U.S. agrees to sell Saudi Arabia $142 billion worth of arms as well.
Yeah, yeah. This has so many prophetic implications, and let me just say before I even jump into this, we're going to see a lot of things here, I think, over the next 3.5 years. The 3.5 years that President Trump has left are going to go fast. And we're going to see over the next 3.5 years, even as what we've seen over the last week, a lot of things that really shine a light on prophecy and what's happening around the world and what the Bible says will happen. So with that said, I want to once again communicate, I do not believe President Trump is the Antichrist. I know that's a funny way to start the broadcast. But there are so many things he's doing right now, Greg, that line up with the Antichrist.
Can we say attributes?
Yeah, yes. And the same
or
yes.
characteristics.
It's where the world's going, so you can see why it would be happening. But if I don't preempt this, even if I preempt it, it'll come up. We're going to be getting questions soon. Do you think President Trump's the Antichrist?
No.
Because, and fill in the blank, I do not, and let me just say this right off the bat. First of all, I think he's doing a lot of great things for the world, a lot of great things for America. So I do not think he's evil as far as that goes. I want to be clear on that. But he is doing a lot of things that line up with what the Bible says the Antichrist will solidify. So this is almost like, you know,
he's putting puzzle pieces in place.
He is. He's mixing the concrete.
Yeah.
And it's going to be poured and solidified by the Antichrist when he comes on the scene. And so, you know, you would expect this. There's still a lot of stage setting that needs to be in place for the Antichrist. And I do believe President Trump right now is being used to set that stage, whether or not it's God working through him to set that stage or whether or not it's simply God allowing him to set that stage because of the spirit of the age, I don't know. But I do believe there are certain things that have to be in place for the Antichrist just to step on the scene and do what it says he's going to do. And so, I'll explain it more. Let me just talk about what President Trump is doing. This is amazing. And then we'll talk about how it lines up prophetically. But he is doing things now as an individual that I don't think anyone has done since the Caesars of Rome. And what's interesting about that is Rome is going to be revived. Daniel talks about the revived Roman Empire, and there will be another Caesar. It's going to be what we call the Antichrist. That is a world emperor, a world ruler. And why do I say that? The things that he's doing, he's uniting Arab countries right now with America, which is the largest, most powerful nation in the world, in a way that I've not seen other presidents or leaders do. The economic agreements are massive. The walls that are being torn down for the money are massive. He's using the money and the economics to do things that would normally get people that they wouldn't even want to work together. And he's got all these nations working together and agreeing with America and doing all these things because everybody's getting fatter pockets. And so it's very intriguing, and we're going to see that's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. But first of all, let me talk about, and again, the reason I don't believe he's the Antichrist, there's a number of reasons. One is, personally, this isn't biblical, but I'll give you a personal one. I believe Satan is an imitator of everything that God does. I believe the Antichrist will come on the scene somewhere around 30 years of age, even as Jesus Christ came on the scene, because he's going to try to mimic that. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not say that the Antichrist will be 30. Okay, please understand.
But he does say he will be a relative unknown.
Yes. The thing is, it calls him the little horn of Daniel. He's going to rise up quickly as an unknown with intrigue. Again, which President Trump rose up with intrigue in politics, but he was a well-known. See, this President Trump is...
And for a long time.
He's been worldwide well-known for a long time. He does not fit the definition of the Antichrist, who has to be a relative unknown that suddenly comes on the scene and rises up quickly, again, having satanic power and takes over the world. So that's why I do not believe, one of the reasons. The other is I personally believe he's going to be a younger man, that's going to come in and take over and do that just because, again, imitating the way that Satan always imitates. But let me, first of all, listen to what President Trump is doing. Then let's look at this prophetically in Scripture. U.S. President Donald Trump is scheduled to arrive. Now, this is past tense, obviously, in Saudi Arabia on Tuesday. This was last Tuesday. In his Middle Eastern itinerary also includes stops in the United Arab Emirates in Qatar, or Qatar, however you say it. The people that live there don't know how to say it. I'm convinced of that. Nobody in the world knows how to say, I hear Qatar, I hear Qatar. I'm sure they do. I'm joking. I would like to hear them say it.
Say it.
Because I hear it said so many ways. I'm like, you know what? You live in a place that even you can't pronounce. And when you live somewhere you can't pronounce, it may be time to think, hey, do we really need to be here? I don't know. But anyway, so the purpose of Trump's visit is reportedly to strengthen Washington's ties with the three affluent Arab states while securing vast business deals for the U.S. defense companies. However, while Trump advocates for peace in the Middle East, his visit could potentially trigger, and here's the key where it comes in prophetically, a historic regional arms race in this highly volatile region. The Trump-led delegation includes Boeing CEO Kelly Ortberg, Sikorsky CEO Paul Limo, and leaders of other top American defense companies. Saudi Arabia has indicated interest in acquiring some 200 next-gen American-made F-15 EX jets to replace older models in their Air Force fleet. I think those are battery-powered, right?
No.
Oh, they're not? Am I wrong on that? Okay, I'm sorry. That would be bad if it went out in midair.
You're just a bit off.
Okay,
yes.
Sorry. All right. Anyway,
those are Strike Eagles, by the way.
There you go. All right. In addition, the Saudis also want to buy various offensive and defensive military systems, combat helicopters, transport helicopters, Hercules transport planes, and some pundits fear the dramatic upgrading of Saudi Arabia's military inventory will escalate an unprecedented arms race in the Middle East. In the next few weeks or months, Israel is expected to sign the purchase of at least one squadron of 25 F-15 EX fighter jets. Each plane costs $100 million, a deal that would cost the Jewish state some $2.5 billion. And again, they take them, just as a side note, and they make them even better. They increase the technology on these jets.
Yeah.
The ongoing wars in Ukraine and Gaza are also expected to trigger more arms races in the Middle East. And then, Greg, your second article that you talked about,
yes,
the deal here, it basically says the same thing. I want to read one line. The package signed today, the largest defense cooperation deal in U.S. history, is a clear demonstration of our commitment to strengthening our partnership. Now, why is this so intriguing to me? Again, there's a number of reasons. Look, the reason I said President Trump is being more effective than even almost any Caesar is he's getting these world leaders to come together. It's not just those three major countries. He's pulled Syria in now by dropping sanctions with them. He's pulled Turkey in. They're happy with what he's doing with these other nations. He's giving ultimatums to Iran. If they don't come in line, they're going to be dealt with. Israel's already involved in that. He's got America, the largest nation in the world. He just made a huge tariff deal with the UK. What this is going to do is, this is going to, I believe, force the EU to be pulled into this. The EU's kind of been, we're liberal, you're conservative.
They don't want to be left out.
Yeah, we don't like your orange hair. But they're going to have to give in. Because they're now, the world is uniting around them. Even China now has a tariff agreement with America, which you may have heard about or may not have heard about.
Well, I thought it was a 90-day timeout.
But it's going to stick.
It's going to stick.
I'll tell you why. Because China is going to be crushed if they don't.
Yes.
They're going to be crushed. I mean, here's the thing. China has a massive economy. A lot of the things in the world are made in China. If China had a huge bank account, they could ride this out and they could play chicken. But they don't have that. They're in financial straits right now. And even though they hold a lot of cards as far as what's made in the world there, which could hurt the world, right? But they're in such economic straits, Greg, that if they don't play along and be good boys and girls, they're going to sink so bad, they'll become insignificant. They know that. So they're going to play along. I think you're going to see at the end of these 90 days, they're going to see that it's going to be long term.
Okay.
We'll see. Again, time will tell.
But absolutely.
The point is, he is, as almost emperor-esque, is forcing the entire world to his table. And that's what emperors did. They ran the entire world. They forced everyone to their table. They called the shots. And he is setting the stage for the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be an emperor-type figure. It will be in the revived Roman Empire. And I believe, I almost look at President Trump as kind of a John the Baptist for the Antichrist. He's kind of like preparing the way because this guy's coming. And the world now is getting the mindset of one guy running the show, one guy pulling all the levers, everybody coming together economically, everybody coming together militarily, everybody coming together even religiously in that they're working on linking even certain portions of Christianity or this thing you've called Chrislam, they call it, where they're linking Christianity with Islam, saying it's all the same God. Let's all just take a break and relax.
Mm-hmm.
You've already got Catholics that have been doing this for years and Catholics that, again, because Mary is accepted in both, Islam, Jesus rather is accepted in both Islam. It's a different Jesus. And they link up together on Mary. They don't have a problem with Mary and Islam. So there's a lot of connectors here with at least the church, not the true church, but the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm watching this whole thing fall into place and formulate. But really, Greg, what really got my attention that is so Antichrist-esque in this visit is that he's making these deals based on military and money. The M&M factor is huge when it comes to the Antichrist. Military and money. And I want to read something for you out of Daniel chapter 11, talking about the Antichrist. And listen to what it says here, starting in, I'm going to start in verse 36 of chapter 11. It says this, speaking of the Antichrist. Okay, this is the Antichrist now being referred to here. Okay, that's the context. He says, then the king, that is the Antichrist, shall do according to his own will. He's going to be this ruling power. Nobody can stop him. He's the king of the world, the emperor. Notice this. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. So he's going to eventually say that he is God at that 3.5 year point. He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, that is the God in heaven who made all things, and shall prosper until. So he'll have a moment of prosperity until wrath has been accomplished. So God's going to give him just a moment of seeming success, and then judgment will fall on him and the rest of the world. And it says, for what has been determined, that is in God's word already in advance, shall be done. What a great, I love those three words. It shall be done. You can't stop it. That's exciting to me. The Antichrist shall neither regard the God of his fathers, who is the God of, again, this is why I believe the Antichrist is going to be definitely Jewish. Now, could it be a blend of Jew and also the Arabic world? That's possible. Could he be a mix? We don't know. Because how's the Arabic world going to receive this guy if he's a Jew? The Jews won't receive him if he's Arabic or Arab. So I think you're going to see very possibly kind of a blending here. That could be a thing to, you know, not to be watching for, because we're going to be gone before he's on the scene. But he says he won't regard the God of his fathers, which is the God of the Bible. So it shows the Jewishness of him, at least that part. Nor the desire of women. Now, some people have said they believe that means he's going to be homosexual, but that is not what this is saying. If you don't know Jewish history, you could think that, and that's a logical conclusion. He doesn't have the desire of women. That makes it sound like he's going to desire men in a physical way. That's not what this is saying. You have to understand, in Jewish history, they had a phrase called the desire of women. It goes back thousands of years.
And what did it mean?
The desire of women meant the Messiah. What it meant was the desire of women was to give birth to the Messiah. So that's why Mary was blessed among women, because she received the desire of women. She got to give birth to the Messiah. And so that's why they called women cursed. If they couldn't have children, they were called cursed, because now they couldn't be in line for the desire of women to have the Messiah come through their body. So they believed they would be the one giving birth. So it was very common among the Jewish people to refer to the woman that gave birth to the Messiah. The Messiah was the desire of women.
And so what does that verse say again?
Let me read it again. He shall neither regard the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. So what it's saying is he will neither regard Yahweh nor will he regard the Messiah.
Oh.
You follow?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
very good.
So he won't desire Yahweh, nor, because he's going to claim he is God.
Yeah.
He says, nor will he regard any God. Why? Because he's going to say he
is
God.
I am God. Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Notice this. For he shall exalt himself above them all. But here's going to be what he's going to worship. This is interesting, besides himself. But in their place, the Antichrist shall honor a god of fortresses. It literally means
military.
In the language, a god of military, a god of battle, military things.
Mm.
That's what he's going to honor. A god of fortresses and a god which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses or militaries, with a foreign god, that is Satan. Satan will give him the power to do that, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Dividing the land for gain is referring to Israel. When he divides the land up there out of Joel, it talks about he's going to be dividing up the land, and then God's going to curse him for that or judge him for that. So here's the point. The Antichrist is going to emphasize military power and riches, gold and silver. That is exactly what President Trump just did in the Middle East. He just went over there and with gold and precious things, budgets, money, and all that, sold military equipment, and both the elements the Antichrist will be using, he just used to advance his agenda. Now, that doesn't mean he's the Antichrist. Clearly, I don't believe that, as we've already stated, but it shows that same spirit that the Antichrist is going to be using. Again, whenever this machine is built, the Antichrist will take over this largely built military machine as these 10 kingdoms give them all their authority. So all this military that's being built up now, it's not just America selling it. Remember, they bought billions of dollars in Qatar and in Saudi Arabia and now in Israel, billions of dollars worth of military. So there's this big military machine being built, and the Antichrist will step on the scene. He'll take over that military machine. They'll say, who can go to war with the beast? He's going to honor this great military. Nobody can fight him. It's going to be unbelievably massive. It'll be a mixture of America's and theirs and all these countries coming together. And he's going to do it again by also making all of his friends rich. They all got rich by this because although they're spending billions on military, they're also investing billions in America. So they're getting their money back because of the investment. So they're making billions, building up gigantic militaries, and it's all going to be in place for this obscure unknown when these 10 kingdoms come together to rise up in the middle and take over. Now, I believe also in these unifications financially and militarily, this is the beginning, very possibly, of these 10 toes coming together. It's going to force Europe into this. You're going to see Europe negotiating with the Middle East, both of them negotiating with America. And I think out of this, the 10 toes will be eventually formulated. And then you have them in place. This little horn out of Daniel is going to rise up, take over all of them. He'll have that powerful military. He'll have the powerful riches that he gives to his friend. He will eventually make this Middle East agreement with Israel to divide up the land, as it talks about in Joel and right there what we just read in Daniel. And you've got the whole end times process underway. The 7 years begin, 3.5 years in, he declares that he's God. And so when I see what's going on, you know, again, you and I talked about it before the broadcast began. The unbeliever in the world looks at this and goes, this is all good. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm saying it's not about good or bad. It's about the formulation of the world to get ready for the Antichrist. And it's pointing exactly to what he's going to be doing. I find it very intriguing. And you just think about, man, this guy that Satan gives supernatural knowledge to and supernatural power to and supernatural charisma to, and he comes on the scene, and the world's not going to, here's what's amazing, Greg, the world's not going to look and say, you're crazy. We can't bring all these countries together and sell all these military things and do all these economic things. Who are you? Well, Trump came in and did it. So now they're not going to be questioning the Antichrist just stepping on the scene and doing that. They're going to say, okay, this stage has already been set. Let's run with it. We like it. We get richer. The world's more unified, and here we go. And they're going to be singing "We Are the World" again. Everybody's going to be happy until, again, sudden destruction comes upon them like a woman in birth pangs. And we're watching it happen. I think we're watching the formulation of it. I do.
Well, something else that's intriguing, Pastor Mark, is our next story that comes from IsraelNationalNews.com, dated May 14th. Trump lifts sanctions on Syria and urges new leaders to, quote-unquote, show us something special.
Yeah, I think this is a setup. I think the president is hopeful they'll do something good, but I think he kind of is questioning that they will. And Greg, I believe with the demonic powers in that region, if they don't turn to Christ and there's light, the demonic powers are going to continue to control Syria.
The regional demons.
Yeah, so we're not going to see a change in Syria. All we're going to see in Syria, I think, is a temporary holding back of doing some of the stuff they're doing. Hiding it from people so they can get more money in and more supplies. And we'll get to, you know, some of the things that you and I talked about before and something you brought up. But let me read some of this. In a landmark shift in American foreign policy, President Donald Trump announced Tuesday that the United States will lift sanctions on Syria following the fall of the Assad regime last December. Syria, he says, and I quote, they've had their share of travesty, war, and killing for many years, Trump stated, as quoted by CNN. That's why my administration has already taken the first steps toward restoring normal relations between the United States and Syria for the first time in more than a decade. Now, a quick comment here in the middle of this article. The reason he did this is because this was part of making the deal with all the other guys. Listen, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, they were all saying, look, we'll make this big deal with you, but we need something. Lift sanctions on Syria. So this is, even when he made the announcement that he was going to do it, he turned to the Saudi crown prince and said, the things I do for the crown prince.
Yes.
And you may have heard him say that.
Yes.
So
I remember that.
Yes. Yes. So his hand prints were all over it. So, again, I think this is all a part of it. But here's the thing the president knows. He knows that if Syria doesn't follow through and shine, deal's off. He's still got his deal with the crown prince and the other guys. Now the deal's off with Syria if it doesn't work. So it's really genius in many ways. You can still go in and do it and take care of business if you need to. The announcement marks a major victory for Syria's new president, Ahmed al-Sharaa, who rose to power after the collapse of the Assad regime. Trump said the decision came after discussions with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and Turkish President Erdogan. Again, remember that they're talking about this work in these deals. Trump also expressed hope that the new Syrian government will bring stability and peace to the country. We hope they will succeed in stabilizing the country and keeping peace, he added. Now, I don't think they will. Now, there may be a temporary peace. But as you mentioned, Greg, before the broadcast, something's going to bring this destruction of Damascus, as it talks about in Isaiah 17:1. We don't know what that's going to be. But again, it might very well be this type of, this feeds it anyway. And that is, we gave you a chance, you failed, and then it's not, that doesn't mean we're going to go in and just blow up Damascus. But as you see the falling away, if they don't agree and this thing falls apart, you can see Syria getting more aggressive and angrier and worse, and somebody's going to take them out. Because it says that in Isaiah 17:1, it's either going to be America, it's going to be Israel, or maybe some other player we don't know about. But something's going to happen to push the envelope. So Syria, long-term, will not have peace. They're going to, as a matter of fact, their capital is going to be destroyed. So keep your eye on that. Something's going to blow up quite literally there in that whole thing. But again, this may be a part of, as you said, really giving a warning to them, giving them an opportunity. And then when they fail, it's kind of like, well, the rest of the world sees, hey, we gave them a chance, they blew it, and now we blew it. We blow it up.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back to America for an interesting article from Blaze Media dated May 13th. Hey, church is cool again. And Gen Z men are leading the way. What is this all about?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like we were cool before, being Christian was cool. We should write a song. There's some song that we could do there.
Yeah.
But again, you know what it is, Greg? This is so exciting before I even read this to say, because what they're noticing here and what they're talking about in this article is there's a resurgence among the next generation for God.
That is encouraging.
And what's exciting to me is it's not the women leading it. It's the young men.
Yes.
And whenever God... Whenever you see a true revival, certainly the women are a part of it. Don't misunderstand me. This is not some kind of sexist statement. But God will always lead through men. That's God's plan. That's God's design. And God leads through men. So when I see these young men leading, I get very encouraged. Listen to what it says. Amid a broader spiritual collapse, one trend stands out. Young men are returning to church in growing numbers. Gen Z in particular seeks structure, meaning, and community in a world fractured by chaos and alienation. You know, when a generation, when they see things missing that they know needs to be there, it tends to draw them back, and God uses that to do that. It says, for decades, the dominant story in the West told of religion's slow death. Church attendance dropped year after year, while nuns, N-O-N-E-S, those who reject any religious affiliation, surged. But recent data complicates that narrative, especially among younger Americans. The return of young men to the church is a cultural reckoning and a budding flower of renewal. This is so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Similar trends are occurring in the United Kingdom. That's exciting as well because they're a mess over there. It says, what explains the sudden shift? For generations, youth pushed back against dominant order. And for much of the 20th century, that order was Christianity. But what happens when Christianity fades? Replaced by atheism or whatever postmodern creed happens to be in vogue. The instinct to rebel remains. Only now the rebellion turns back toward order, tradition, and moral clarity. So they're saying it's actually got a sense of almost righteous rebellion driving them back. But again, what's exciting to me is Calvary's, and I don't know what's happening in other churches, but Calvary's across the country are saying they're seeing their young adults now begin to come alive. And we're starting to see something new, I believe, taking place in our young adults. And we'll see that. We'll talk about that more later, not today's broadcast, but as a church and what's happening, I believe there's a resurgence going on there. And I think God is beginning to pour out his spirit. We may see a revival among our young men. We've been hoping there'd be a last days revival. This may be, only God knows, this may be the beginning of that. Be praying for that. Our listeners out there, be praying. God is certainly stirring the hearts of our young men. And if the young men are stirred, you're going to see that others fall in place and the next generation is going to fall in place. And Greg, you know, how much better to have a generation in America that's on fire and watching for the Lord when the rapture takes place than everybody just living for themselves and in total debauchery when the rapture takes place. Again, I know many have been praying for many years for another revival to take place. And when I say revival, I'm talking historic church revivals that last 40 to 50 years. They're not something where you put a tent up or where there's
flash in a pan.
Or like two
and you can't schedule it.
Right, two or three months of some excitement. No, no.
Yeah.
We're talking about 40 years of seeing churches around the world being planted, people's lives being changed. That's a biblical revival. And so I'm hoping this is leading into that. Only time will tell. We can't speak it into existence. Only God can, but we can keep our eye on it and get excited about it. And my eye is on it. And you know what? I am excited about it. I think there could be something going on here.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 363, or as President Trump refers to it as, that big, beautiful podcast. And now,
you've got mail.
I wish I could do a President Trump imitation. Pastor Mark, it's on you.
I know.
It falls on your shoulders as the leader.
Yeah, I should.
To do
I know,
that for us.
Pressure, okay. Pressure.
Yes, it's pressure. All right, our listener question this week comes from Jacob, enjoying signs of the times in Newmarket. His question is about the United States and the mystery of Babylon in the book of Revelation. I have been seeing a lot of people on the internet lately saying that they think that the United States of America is the mystery of Babylon of Revelation that John spoke of when he was in the spirit.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a moment. Great question, Jacob, and let's talk about this for a moment. I think there's a couple things to talk about, and then I want to read some scripture. It could possibly yes and no, but let me explain what's going on. First of all, Mystery Babylon is much larger than a particular nation. It's not that, from the indications we see in scripture, it's not a nation. It is a world system, and it is a world economic system that's going to be in power in the last days with the Antichrist ruling over it. So Mystery Babylon is more than America. It would include Europe. It would include the Middle East. It's the world empire of economy. But with that blanket statement, before I jump into some scripture, there is going to be a place in that system that will be destroyed. Very clearly, we see in Revelation 18, Babylon the Great is destroyed while the other nations stand back and watch. And so it would appear that the economic engine of the Babylonian system will be destroyed with this place. So it'll damage the whole world economically. But it's larger than a place as the Bible lays it out. So there will be some place destroyed. Could that place be America? Yes. Could that place be the Europe? Yes. Someplace in Europe. Could that place? We don't know where that place is. But think of it as a Babylonian system worldwide rather than a place. First of all, get that in your mind. Then think about whatever the hub and the engine of it gets destroyed. That place gets destroyed, which affects the entire world on that economic system. So, and yes, it could be America, but we don't know. Only time will tell. But let me read a little bit of Revelation here, because I think we need some background to give you, so I can show you scripture as to what I just said, which there always needs to be scripture to back up what we say. In Revelation 17, I want to read a few verses here, maybe the first six or so. It says this, it says, "Then the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, come and I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Now, it told us earlier the great harlot is the worldwide religious system. So you're going to have to take my word for that and do your own study in Revelation. But the harlot is revealed as the worldwide religious system sitting on many waters. That is, it'll be a unified world religion around the globe, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. That is spiritual fornication, because this is they're spiritually fornicating against God, the true God of heaven. The inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So they're going to be going along with this world religious system and just, you know, again, in the debauchery of it and going along. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Now, the woman, again, is that harlot, again, identified in other places. Here's that world religious system, which I believe will be the Catholic Church at that time. There's other reasons for that. We don't have time to get into it. But it'll be on the scarlet beast. So you see the woman riding the beast. This woman will be riding the world system that the Antichrist is ruling. So you'll see he's working with the world religious system up to a point. And then once he reaches his usefulness of the world religious system, he will destroy it. So notice what it says. The woman sitting, there's the heart of the world religious system. The woman sitting on the scarlet beast, that is the Antichrist system, which was full of names of blasphemy, again, false gods and all this stuff, having seven heads and 10 horns. This is the Antichrist again. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, And again, the sign of kind of kingliness. And also, again, these are colors that are used, again, in the Catholic Church, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. We know the Catholic Church is the wealthiest religion in the world, really institution in the world. And having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations. Again, all the gold that the Vatican has and all the rituals. And the filthiness of her fornication, that is worshiping, you know, saints and Mary and all that rather than Jesus. And on her forehead, a name was written. Here we go. Mystery. Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots. That is against God in heaven. And the abominations of the earth. So we see that it is it's a conglomerate of a system, a world system, is this Babylon the Great. I saw the woman, that is the church system, the false church system, the religious system, drunk with the blood of the saints, because again, the Antichrist is going to be killing believers, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So again, the picture the Bible gives us, Jacob, is that it is a world economic system that will have some type of economic central location. And it would appear that that economic central location will be destroyed, as it talks about in Revelation 18, which is why people say maybe America is Babylon. So America's not by itself Babylon. America will be a part of the Babylonian system with the rest of the world. But if America becomes the financial hub of all the riches of the world, I do believe it's very possible you could see America or a portion of it destroyed. Again, it could be a portion of Europe destroyed if it becomes that hub. It could be a portion maybe even of the Middle East destroyed. Look at what's happening right now with Saudi Arabia and all these nations.
Qatar does.
Oh, my goodness. It is just like glitter and glam and these amazing buildings and riches galore. It could be something to do with that. So we don't know exactly where it is. I cannot emphatically say, yes, it's going to be America. But I think the picture to have is, it is much larger than America, but someplace will be wiped out that is going to be that hub. And when it happens, it's going to interrupt and break the world financial system. And you're going to see people, it says, they're in Revelation going, they're weeping, going, oh, such great riches come to nothing in 1 hour, which again would indicate maybe even some possible type of nuclear thing, you know, that takes it out very quickly, and they're watching it burn from a distance. So only time will tell. I believe by the time that happens, matter of fact, I feel confident based on the word of God, by the time that happens, we will be watching it from heaven. We won't even be here. That is for those who know the Lord.
If you've got some prophetic curiosities like Jacob, we invite you to visit thewaymedia.net, click on Signs of the Times, and you can see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question. As Signs of the Times rolls on for episode 363, we park ourselves on an article of the Jerusalem Post dated May 13th as we look at growing anti-Semitism and ask the question, why did the ICC's Karim Khan issue an arrest warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu?
Yeah, very interesting when you see this links back to the last administration where I think he was even trying to work with America and maybe put pressure on Israel and try to get them arrested. This is that International Criminal Court, which has no authority in America, but is being used to put pressure on certain people that these people over in Europe
and has
don't
no
like.
Authority in Israel either.
Yeah, but they're trying to issue these worldwide arrest warrants,
yes,
hoping that some nation, if he goes to visit, would actually arrest him. And it's like it's just this. It just reminds me of the rebellious rogue. You see a lot of these liberal groups that come together and try to just go break the law because they're mad because they don't like the law. So they sit ins or they rush some gate or they stand outside with megaphones and yell.
They're like children.
It's
yes.
The same spirit here. Karim Khan, again, which was Captain Kirk's nemesis in one of the Star Trek movies from the International.
That was good.
Okay. Actually, he wasn't, but either way. Gone! By the way, you know, you saw that what happened there, Greg, over in the Middle East there just this last week. There were a lot of shakes, a lot of handshakes,
yes,
and a lot of regular shakes. You had people from all different countries. You had
chocolate
different
shakes.
You had vanilla shakes. They were all there, and they were trying to make deals
yes.
with these handshakes.
Yes,
and you know what you want is you don't want a shake with lies. You want to make sure that you have
yes.
The truth there.
The truth.
Now, shake with fries. That's
yes.
good. You don't want to shake with lies.
That would be the Big Mac deal that President Trump likes so much.
And by the
right?
way, he brought Big Macs in.
He did.
So he had Big Macs and shakes.
Yes.
With the president in the Middle East.
You're making me hungry.
Okay. Anyway, Karim Khan, the International Criminal Court's chief prosecutor, hoping that issuing arrest warrants for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant in Israel would make the West turn against Israel. a senior Western diplomat with firsthand knowledge of the ICC case, has told the Jerusalem Post in an exclusive interview. The diplomat, who told or spoke on condition of anonymity, said that he believed Khan's decision to issue arrest warrants against Israeli leaders was based on a combination of a desire to see powerful Western nations turn against Israel and inspire public pressure from pro-Palestinian groups. He recalled a conversation he had with Khan last year where Khan allegedly said, and I quote, "You just wait and see. If I apply warrants for against Netanyahu, this would give countries like Germany and Canada the excuse they need to turn against the Israeli government." Again, he's now shown to be the one that's wrong because everybody's turning against him. I just saw in the newspaper today, basically, he's got now charges coming against him for rape. So this guy's getting in big trouble. And you're watching again, the Lord, I think, turn it back on his own head. He said, "I'll bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel." And I think we're seeing this guy now being cursed by God. But let's go on. They say in the article, that's not his job. That is Khan's job. You know, he should be driven by the law, by facts and evidence, not by the thought that Germany might turn on an elected official, the diplomat said. Again, I think we see here once again a con artist. And that is, he's going to fail in what he's doing because God is going to be the one that's going to, again, bring it on his own head.
Yes.
And I, you know, it's amazing to watch these guys. They're just trying to attack Israel now at an international level. They're not going to be successful in doing it. God's going to protect them. We know the whole world is going to turn against them. But again, those that turn against Israel will not be blessed. That's why I hope that our president stays on target, continues to support the nation of Israel. He made a lot of these deals over there, these, you know, in the Middle East without Israel. And that's causing a little bit of tension between them all. But so far, he's not turned against Israel. And I hope he stays as a great supporter. I think that he will. I'm hoping that he will. And that's what we need to be praying for.
Now, not to go too far afoot here and lose track, but I do want to address something with the International Criminal Court.
Yes.
Because you revealed something, their intention.
Yeah.
Their intention is that they hope a country will act on this arrest warrant.
Yes.
And actually, if Netanyahu visits that country, actually by force, take him and arrest him. What I think is interesting, Pastor Mark, because the ICC is not going anywhere. Is it possible that in the future, And I guess this is past this Trump era. We got different leadership in the world. The climate changes back to a condition that is not helpful to Israel. And the ICC, in the eyes of many nations, gains more power. And the arrest warrant is now a search warrant for the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Given to those leading the invasion of Ezekiel, by legal means or by legal standing, they will say that they are coming in. Now, I know that the Ezekiel says that they're going to ask, "Hey, why are you coming in here?"
Right.
Is it to get the booty, you know, the treasure,
right, the
whatever,
reward, yeah,
the reward? But I can't help but think that maybe that might play a part in getting them or making them feel like they have some sort of validation in some sort of legal means to make an invasion, even though it might not be clear beyond that.
That's a great point. Here's the thing. With the Antichrist, is he going to use the legal means or just use brute force and the power of Satan to do it? But again, this could be, again, the foundation of a legal foundation when the Antichrist comes into power to do some of these things internationally that he wants to do. So I think we do need to keep an eye on that. Right now, they don't have the authority and the backing to do that, but I could see the Antichrist again all being brought under one roof and saying, "Look, here's our legal aspect of it. So let's do it." And using it as, he would do it anyway, but it gives him some kind of legal justification. It may very well be, Greg. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. All right, we'll visit some pestilence, plagues, and disasters, and corruption, and really right here in our own backyard.
Our own city.
Our own city, really. Or actually, it was in Greenback, Tennessee, which is south of us. But the USGS reporting a 3.5, some saying a 4.1 magnitude earthquake this past Saturday here in the Knoxville area.
Yeah, well, they did upgrade it to a 4.1. It says,
okay,
just after 9 a.m. on Saturday, an earthquake was felt. It was 9:05 is when it happened. I was in my car, and I looked at the clock. So 9:04, 9:05.
Now, I thought you told me that you had just got new pipes on your Harley.
That's what it was. I started my Harley up. I apologized to the entire city. I said, "I'm sorry, I started my bike up, and everybody thought it was an earthquake because of my new pipes that I put on." If that would have done that, we could sell those pipes.
You sure could.
Yeah, but the earthquake was felt across East Tennessee. It was really right here, right next to Knoxville and Maryville, yep, and that Greenback area. The U.S. Geological Survey originally said 3.5. They upgraded it to a 4.1. Based off the preliminary report, the USGS, the earthquake was felt as far as Atlanta, Georgia. The agency also forecasted a 23% chance of an aftershock, which I don't think we had. If we did, we didn't feel it, which could happen that following week, and it did, and I don't think. But again, we didn't feel it if it did. The epicenter is reported to be out of Blount County. As far as damage, the Tennessee Department of Transportation's Mark Nagy said that no reports of damaged roads were seen, but would be inspecting bridges throughout the next few weeks as a precaution. It was quite interesting. You know, we've had a lot of people from California move here, and they're used to these earthquakes. We're not used to them. As a matter of fact, I kind of noted we never had this happen until they moved here. Dramatic pause.
They imported the
Dramatic
earthquakes.
Pause.
Yes.
I'm saying, hey, you're going to come from California. Don't bring the bad part with you. Bring the good stuff.
Bring the In-N-Out
Burger. Bring In-N-Out Burger. Bring some of that. But don't bring the earthquakes and don't bring your politics. But either way, yeah. And so it was really quite amazing. I felt almost like kind of a neat thing I felt like was in my heart, whether it's from God or just a thought that I had. But I had just pulled into a coffee shop in Maryville, and I was getting ready to go in and study. And this, and I have, you know, some sleep issues. I have trouble sleeping at night. So I, you know, a lot of times when I sit still for any length of time, I get kind of sleepy. And so I sat there for a second and just kind of was going to take just a moment to sit there and kind of rest a minute before I went in. And I actually dozed off halfway. I kind of halfway dozed off, and boom, this thing hits. It wakes me up, shakes the whole car. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that was either a gigantic explosion, and they've been working on our gas lines here, a new gas company, you know, in this region. I thought, boy, if that was a gas line explosion, because my wife thought it might be, you know, then we're in big trouble, because it would have done it could have probably a lot of people dead, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then to find out, no, then okay, it probably was an earthquake. But it was interesting because it literally kind of woke me up and startled me, and I thought, what a wake-up call. In the last days, there's going to be a lot of earthquakes, a lot of things happening, and God's going to be using them as a literal wake-up call. And so, you know, for me, it's like this, it was a reminder, you know, God's going to use these things in the last days, I think, to wake up Christians. He's going to use these things in the last days to wake up unbelievers, to turn them to the Lord. So it was quite a dramatic thing for us, and really very, you know, again, it's just, you know, you wonder what it's like. You hear people talk about them, you see them on TV, but to experience one. And what was neat, Greg, I say neat, it was neat to me. I've heard people say it feels like the ground does a wave or something when these things happen. Mm. And it felt like that. It felt like a wave came under my car and kind of went back down.
Interesting.
Almost like the dirt move, which, by the way, Exodus, when they came out, and Dathan, Korah, what even in Exodus? It was when Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, after they'd come out of Egypt, and Korah's rebellion, Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, and Moses and Aaron there, and he said, hey, earth, you know, if these guys are in rebellion, God, swallow them up. And it says the earth opened up and swallowed them. I didn't see this. I didn't know this until just a few months back. The language there reveals that it was that the ground moved like waves of the ocean when it swallowed them.
Mm.
And that's exactly what earthquakes do. I'm not saying it wasn't supernatural. It was. God supernaturally opened up the earth and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. But it came through the land. They would have felt it. The people there would have felt it like we did, like that earthquake, except probably much larger, as almost like the ground is having a wave that's passing through. That's what it felt like. It felt like a wave went through under the car and kind of kept going. It was and just a big boom as well. But it was a very interesting phenomenon. And then realizing what the scripture said just a couple of months back, running across that in the language there, it was very interesting to see that's what happens when there's an earthquake. It's like there's different kinds of earthquakes, but in those kind, it kind of makes it feel like there's a wave that moves through. And that even is what happened in scripture with Korah, Dathan, are very interesting. But now we have our 4.1 story to tell. Were you around for the earthquake, the 4.1 in 2025? We may get larger ones. Again, there's a huge fault line that runs through the Smokies. And that explains, you know, again, the mountains, as a lot of those things happen, are pushed up. In the flood of Noah, they were pushed up. And so it makes sense there'd be some fault lines here. So very interesting.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next article comes from Fox News, dated May 11th. The United States has shut down the southern border to livestock imports to stop the spread of deadly flies.
Yes, I see this in Matthew 24. There's going to be pestilence increasing, and this has happened before, but you're going to see more of these kind of things happening as we get toward the end on a larger scale and more frequent, like a woman in birth pangs, as the Lord says there in Matthew 24. But notice what it says. The Trump administration is temporarily banning imports of cattle, horses, and bison. The reports along the southern border because of the rapid northern spread of the New World screwworm in Mexico. Isn't that interesting? Due to the threat of the New World screwworm, interesting name for this worm, and I saw why. I looked at a picture of it. It looks like it's got ridges in it. Like if you took a screwdriver and were driving in something in the wall, like your anchors when you turn them, it has these ridges in it like that. That's why they call it that, no doubt. He says they're announcing a suspension of live cattle, horse, and bison imports through the U.S. southern border ports of entry effective immediately. The last time this devastating pest invaded America, it took 30 years for our cattle industry to recover. This cannot happen again. So I don't know how long that'll be on hold, but the problem is when the NWS fly maggots burrow into the flesh of living animals, they can cause serious and often deadly damage to the animal, the USDA said. The types of animals these maggots can infest and include pests, livestock, wildlife, birds, and in rare cases, even human. But mostly it's not a threat to humans. It's mostly the livestock, but it kills your livestock, and so you lose your livestock. So, again, I think the point is you're going to see more and more of this kind of pestilence and things happening in the last days, growing increasingly around the globe. So be watching for it, and now we have our own thing to deal with at our southern border.
All right, our Lone Church article of the week comes from Blaze Media, dated May 14th. It's a war on faith, how anti-Catholic violence is exploding almost unnoticed.
Yeah, well, anything that represents God is going to be attacked in the last days. And the Catholic Church, to many people, unbelievers, represents God, so they're going to be attacked, even as the Jews are going to be attacked, and even as the true church is going to be attacked as well. As Catholics around the world eagerly awaited white smoke from the Sistine Chapel, a pastor in rural Pennsylvania watched a very different kind of white smoke pouring from a humble chapel at his church. That is, for those of you that don't know, I'm sure you probably do, they release dark smoke if they did get a pope in the vote, then you get the white smoke. And so that's what they're talking about. So while they're waiting on the
new
Bucky's
pope. Now, Bucky's releases white smoke, too, but that's when they got new brisket
it's
on the
pope
board.
Of brisket.
Yes.
Yes, it's the brisket pope.
Sorry.
And, yes, that's all right. That's a true. We saw that. And again,
yes.
I think they had the Bucky's. He was dressed in his. Anyway.
Yes.
At 9:02, May 6th, a 32-year-old man named Kyle Kaczynski allegedly detonated a stick of dynamite on the altar of a chapel at St. Teresa of Calcutta Church, so named Mother Teresa. Because Mother Teresa once visited it in Mahanoy City. Surveillance footage turned over to law enforcement revealed that Kaczynski had been casing the chapel, entering at least three other times earlier in the week. It is high time for the federal government to take real action that will deter violence and ensure the safety of its churches. The bombing marked the 500th documented act of violence and vandalism against the Catholic Church in the United States in the last 5 years. And let me give another comment on this. Look, when I talk about the Catholic Church being, I think, again, this harlot, and we talk about in Revelation, I'm not saying that there aren't any Catholics that know the Lord. I do believe there are Catholics that know the Lord. But the Catholic Church as a system is corrupted. And rather than worshiping Jesus Christ, they worship people. They worship saints. They worship Mary. And God's word strictly forbids the worship of the dead. God says, you do not worship the dead. It's an abomination to God. So there's a lot of false doctrine that goes into that. However, it is seen as a representation of God. So that's why it's under attack and why it's going to be attacked. And again, you're going to see, again, once the true church is taken out, you're going to see this false religious system headed up, I believe, by the Catholic Church come into power. And you're going to see the Antichrist protect them. They're being attacked right now, Greg. But you're going to see when it says the woman is riding on the beast, that is on the back of the Antichrist. What it means is if the Antichrist is going to allow the church to be protected for a while, the Antichrist is going to allow the church to ride this beast until he's done. And then it says he'll turn and devour her and burn her with fire. And so he's going to be not only turning on the believers that get saved after the rapture, but even those who claim to be connected to God if they don't bow and worship him. And so, you're going to see a lot more persecution. I think you're going to see first, you're going to see the Catholic Church being protected when the Antichrist comes on the scene. Then you're going to see the Catholic Church under great persecution, as well as true believers once the Antichrist comes on the scene.
So when he does that, Pastor Mark, is he basically going to be abolishing any kind of religion other than a religion that worships him?
Oh, yes.
The first three and a half years, everything's allowed in that respect.
Yes.
But at that midway point, only worshiping him is allowed.
Yes, and let's talk about this in a second. He's going to get to a point where he says, you can't worship anybody but me. All other religions and other forms of worship are going to be stopped because he's going to declare that he's God. That's when Satan will possess him. I believe it happens at that 3.5 year point. And Satan wants worship. That's what he's wanted since he rebelled against God. He wants man to bow down to him. He tried to get Jesus to bow down to him. which, of course, the Lord wouldn't do. So he's going to want that bowing. That's going to happen at that point when that takes place. But prior to that, Greg, this is interesting. When we talk about the revived Roman Empire, in the Roman Empire, the emperors declared that they were God. And you had to worship them. You had to, every year, go and pinch incense, a worship thing, drop it on an altar to show that worship going up to you know, on this altar, to burn to the Caesar that he's God. And as long as you did that, you could still have your own religion yourself. So you could have whatever, you could believe in, you know, Asclepius, Baal, any of the other gods, that's fine, Zeus, but you got to acknowledge me first. So you put that on there and then go worship your gods. And you got a certificate that said, okay, you pinched the incense to Caesar. Now you can go to your church and do that. That's what the Antichrist, I believe, is going to do. I think when he comes into power initially, he's going to allow those that missed the rapture, that are still here in their religions, I think headed up by the Catholic Church, but even maybe some denominations getting absorbed into that gradually, he's going to allow them to continue worshiping, and he's going to even use it as a way to control the masses. And to let them do what they want. That'll be tolerated the first 3.5 years. But then he turns and devours the woman writings back. It's all going to be kind of, I think, conglomerated through the Catholic Church into this one religion.
And that would be like the only recognizable or recognized religion by the world government.
I think at some point there's going to be you guys, and it might even be others can kind of do it if they'll have to link through that kind of, it might just be, Greg, a linking of all the religions together. It's just going to be the main leader will be Catholic. I don't know if it'll only be Catholic. It might be the main leader of that, but all the other religions.
Interesting.
The bottom line is he's going to tolerate other forms of worship up to that point. But then it says he will stand on the Temple Mount. He's possessed by Satan by this point. Satan will say, I am God. Everyone bow down to me. And if you don't bow down to me, all other religions must stop. You bow down to me. If not, we're going to kill you. The Bible says he'll start cutting off heads. And he will, again, this will start that last 3.5 years where the bowls are poured out, the major judgments on the earth, and just this literally hell on earth in a real literal way, this demonic presence on earth carrying out his evil will in darkness until Jesus comes back and crushes it all at the end of that 7 years and that final 3.5 years and takes over and becomes the ruler of the earth for 1,000. Then he makes a new heaven and a new earth.
All right, we will end our program today on some good news.
Very encouraging news.
This is CBN News dated May 7th. A couple finds Jesus after previously getting married as gay and transgender. Explain all this, Pastor Mark.
Well, this is wonderful news because a lot of people believe that if you are, if you go down that road, that pathway through sin of LGBTQ or whatever, that there's no return, you can't be rescued from it. This shows you can. God's power can save anyone no matter where they are. I don't care what sin you're involved in. God can rescue in the midst of it. And it says, this is, you don't see it that often, but what a great story. Their growing faith in Christ is life-changing. Comments like, only God can do this. Those are the words of Lex Rennick, a female who formerly identified as a male before she and her husband, who were identified as homosexual, came to faith in Jesus. It really was a man and a woman, but they kind of referred themselves as the opposite of what they were in transgender, so it got all confused. Nick and Lex Rennick got married on May 30th, 2020, when both of them were living LGBT lifestyles. They have since turned away from their past decisions, with Lex restoring her female identity and returning to the name she was given at birth, and Nick abandoning his homosexual identity. The pair married one another as husband and husband, but since then, their respective salvation experiences, they now identify as a heterosexual couple, husband and wife. What a great story. The latest good news for the couple is the birth of their second child together, which they're calling a true miracle, especially in the wake of Lex's detransitioning from testosterone hormones and previous discovery of cancer cells in her womb. They're now dreaming of more children and believing God to expand their influence for his kingdom. Last year, they spoke with the Daily Wire's Michael Knowles about their salvation experience in a lengthy interview. Knowles, a Catholic, described the couple's testimony as one of the wildest stories I've ever heard. For her part, Lex opened up about the fact she believed the lie of LGBT community. The whole world in the queer community was saying, well, you know, if God made you, then God made you this way. She said, but the argument doesn't work with the trans community because if we say God made us this way, that means that I should have been a woman because she was already a woman and now she wanted to be a man. So if God made me that way, well, he made me as a woman. So the logic didn't hold up. They currently share 2 children and want a bigger family. On March 2024, Lex and Nick renewed their wedding vows for the first time as husband and wife. And I quote, I'm so in awe of the goodness of God. He is so good. So many tears hearing my husband say, I do. After Pastor Ivan said, do you take her to be your bride? Words I never thought would be so sweet to hear deep within my soul. What an honor it is to be Nick's bride. What an honor to serve God together and build his kingdom. Again, what an amazing look. All sins are hard to come out of, but this, there are certain sins that have a greater stronghold. And Greg, I've seen over the years that it is in the homosexual sin area that often is the hardest for people to come out of. But what I would encourage any of our listeners out there, if you're being tempted in these areas, or maybe you're living that lifestyle and God is convicting you, saying, look, you need to repent and come to Christ, the power of God is there to set you free. You have the power. God will give. If you cry out to God, He will set you free. He made you either a male or a female at birth. That's who God made you to be. That's who God wants you to be. God will restore you to that if you'll simply cry out to Him. And then God can even bring a beautiful story in a relationship out of it. I have a dear friend that was, again, in the same type of situation that God saved them both. And they both, again, got their lives back to who they were supposed to be and where they were supposed to be with God. So know that no matter where you are, God rescues. And let me say this as well. That no sin is listen, God rescues from all sin. All sin keeps us out of heaven, whether it's, doesn't matter what the sin is. So we all have our different sins. We all have different things we're struggling with. It's not that we pick out any one sin and say, well, that's the one you've got to repent of. No, if it's stealing, lying, cheating, all these are sins. And if we don't repent of our sins, no matter what our background is or where we're going, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And if you're in that place today and God's Spirit is convicting you of sin, then right now, if you will just go to Jesus from your heart, confess your sin, ask Him to forgive you of your sin and receive Him as Lord, you will be saved and have your place in heaven. I encourage you to do that if you've not done that today.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much for ending on that positive note on Jesus. And we hope that you will end your weekend in the church of your choosing that's teaching the Word of God, and that you'll join us next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today are pointing to God's Word as signs of the times.